The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to Libertarians Working for You with host Arvind Vohra. Our program explains how to solve the most critical problems we face in America today. Unemployment, debt, healthcare affordability, high taxes, loss of personal freedoms, loss of privacy, threats of war, and more. Now, here is your host, Arvind Vohra.
Welcome to Libertarians Working for You. I'm your host, Arvind Vohra. On this show, we feature libertarian candidates running for office who will explain how they'll downsize government to make your life better and to make America prosperous, safe, and at peace. You can learn more about the Libertarian Party at lp.org and facebook.com/libertarians. How would your life be better with less government interference at the state level? Would it be easier to start a business or get a better job? Would there be better and cheaper educational options? Would there be less violence and theft? Would you be able to keep more of your money and use it to effectively support charity and the arts? On this week's show, we'll talk to Paul Addis and Yanni Doko. Paul Addis is the first guest. He is a libertarian candidate for state representative in Washington State. Before his work in the Libertarian Party, he also works as a finance project manager with Alaska Airlines. He's worked as a cryptologic linguist at the Military Intelligence Corps. He intends to improve lives by eliminating crony capitalist subsidies, abolishing anti-competitive regulations, and removing roadblocks to educational innovation. Paul, welcome to the show.
Nice to be here.
Now, you've spoken a lot about eliminating some of the specific regulations and taxes in Washington State that really get in the way of small business, and you've talked about the B&O tax. What are some of these taxes and what are some of these regulations?
Well, basically, these taxes that businesses are paying is for regulations that really hamper their ability to innovate and to create value because it drives their costs up. So, honestly, any type of taxation or fees or permitting, licensing, that type of thing that gets in the way of someone saying, hey, you know what, I've got some product or service here, I believe it's a value to the citizens, and I'd like to create and innovate with it and create value for society. And anything that gets in the way of that and makes it less profitable for them to do that, I think is harming society. And so any tax or fee or licensing fee, permitting fees, those type of things that aren't actually doing something to help the people and help businesses grow, I think needs to be eliminated.
Now, is that something that you, if elected, would be willing to sponsor legislation to get rid of some of those taxes and regulations?
Definitely. I think that there are a lot of these types of permit fees, license fees, regulations and that have come about not because there's an actual reason for it, either some scientifically studied reason, but it's just because people are, you know, greasing each other's pockets or, you know, trying to help their friends out, and whether it be, you know, unions taking money for things that they don't really provide any service for, or you know, the government regulations. So I think that there's a lot of places that we could cut there and to allow and listen to the businesses, find out from the business, and if there's something that they're getting a benefit from, that they're paying for something, they say, you know what, we actually get a benefit from that and it helps competition, it helps innovation, then great. Then I say go for it. But I think if you talk to the businesses, the ones I've talked to, there's a lot of stuff they're paying for and they're not really getting much out of it. Neither are their customers or society in general.
you know, as a small business owner myself, I can absolutely attest to what you're saying. I mean, you're essentially, you're dealing with situations in which the state is preventing you from providing a good quality service. It's preventing you from expanding your business. It's preventing you from creating jobs. And of course, you know, as business owners, we spend a lot of time finding ways around it or just complying when there's no other option. But again, what you're saying is absolutely right. If you want to grow the economy, you don't need the government to grow the economy. You just need it to stop the rest of us from growing the economy. We're trying to do it, but it's we have the government regulations and subsidies getting in our way. What
exactly.
are some of these specific go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, government doesn't, as we all know, government doesn't create jobs. Government honestly doesn't innovate and create much of anything. So getting government out of the way of businesses and people like yourself and small business owners who are trying, and there are so many solutions out there to some of the problems we're having, if you're right, if government would get out of the way. And that's something I would look to author, sponsor, co-sponsor legislation that would do that.
Awesome. Now, you've spoken about something called the B&O tax. What is that?
Well, that's a business tax and that the businesses have to pay. And, you know, I'm looking into the ways that we could eliminate that through the legislation. And honestly, I haven't done as much research on that particular tax. I'm working with some folks in the Libertarian Party here, our support team, to identify some real pragmatic ways that we could eliminate that and some other taxes. So I'm sorry I can't get into too much detail on that one because we haven't got all the research back on that. But it's one of the taxes that's common for businesses to pay that again, is driving up their costs. And I'm not seeing that they're getting much benefit out of that.
Now, while small businesses and innovators don't really get much benefit from all these taxes and fees and special privileges, a lot of the politically connected corporations and politically connected business and politically connected unions are actually reaping some of the benefits. Is there a way that as a legislator you can actually kind of, you know, even the playing field, get rid of some of those special privileges for large businesses that happen to be politically connected?
Yes, definitely. In fact, in Washington State, we had a great example here. And again, like you mentioned, the idea is to level the playing field. So it's not that I would want everybody paying more taxes, certainly not. But if you're going to cut taxes for one company or industry, you need to cut them for everybody because that's the idea, is to level the playing field. We have an example here in Washington State where Boeing is a huge corporation, a huge employer here in Washington. They have a lot of connections in Olympia. And they are getting a tax break. They've threatened at times to take their business elsewhere. So they get this tax break. Now, I know of a smaller company here in south of Seattle in Kent, Washington, and they make airplane parts. They make Sikorsky helicopter blades. And so they are a direct competitor with Boeing in some product lines, but they have to pay taxes that Boeing doesn't have to pay. So while they use the same labor unions in both of these places, in both of these businesses, but the folks in the smaller company, Hexcel, they actually have to pay, they pay less to their people because they don't have that profit margin because they have to pay all the taxes. So Boeing can actually come in and cherry pick the best workers out of the Hexcel and bring them over to Boeing. So it makes it very uncompetitive for those smaller companies that don't have the political connections. And
exactly.
Again, like I say, either everybody's going to pay the same or everybody's going to get cut the same. And that's what I would like to see.
And of course, as you've mentioned, that you really are working to make sure that everybody's getting those same cuts and we're getting rid of these things. You know, to
the
make
government
sure that
shouldn't pick winners and losers is the idea. I think in the marketplace, anyway.
You know, one of the things that we look at, you know, just as small business owners, as individuals, is not only the economic rights, but are just fundamental civil rights. You know, our rights to enjoy ourselves as we see fit, our rights to support the kind of arts and charity that we see, the right to defend ourselves as we see fit. Where do you stand when it comes to the Second Amendment, right to defend yourself?
Oh, I'm all for the Second Amendment. I'm a gun owner myself. I'm a veteran. I've got a concealed carry permit here in the state of Washington. And one of my problems with the people who are for more gun control, well, I have a few of them, but of course there's the fact that, as we all know, the only people that aren't going to obey the gun laws are the ones, the criminals. So it really doesn't do anything to reduce crime, in my opinion, and it puts it limits people from expressing their right to bear arms. But I think that, you know, what you have to watch out for, and history shows us that, as soon as, and this goes with anything, I think, whether it be taxes or gun control, if you give government bureaucracies an inch, they will take a mile. So often gun rights activists will say, well, we only want to do some common sense regulation or something like that. You know, well, you surely don't want some crazy person with a gun, you know, some talk like that. But what they're at least not saying, I don't know if they realize it or not, but as soon as you start inching that way, where is it going to stop? So I would watch out for that. And I say, I want to inch things towards more liberty, more freedom. Not
sure.
The other way. So I'm not.
What are some of those ways?
Kind of gun control.
What are some of those ways? I mean, what are some ways that we can? I mean, we've seen already just the tragedies that have been caused by gun control. I mean, with all the, for example, the gun-free school regulations, which I know are partially federal regulations. With all these gun-free school regulations, we've essentially guaranteed to every crazy murdering sociopath, we've guaranteed that schools are totally undefended. So we've already seen
moths to a flame.
Exactly. I mean, and we've seen the results of gun control. We've seen that gun control makes, you know, schools undefended. It leaves people undefended. Now, what are some ways that we can start to undo that? What are some ways that in Washington State Legislature you might be able to start to move us back in a direction where, you know, even if you're not like the biggest, strongest Bruce Lee type, even if you're just like a regular person, you know, maybe or smaller than average, or you're female, or you're younger, you're disabled, you have some reason where you might need a firearm to actually defend yourself from a stronger attacker. What are some things that you could do in the Washington State Legislature to make that happen?
Well, we have, you know, in our, not only the U.S. Constitution, but in the Washington Constitution, we have the right to bear arms as well. And I think that just making so in that sense, like, I don't need to come up with a new Constitution to give us rights because we already have that. But I need to definitely make sure that defend against any efforts to curb those rights, and any kind of legislation someone else would bring up, I would certainly be against it. And if we need any new legislation to clarify the rights that we already have, specifying that, you know, school districts should be able to choose how they want to make their kids safe, whether, you know, if they want to have armed patrols there, that's fine. If they want teachers to be able to carry, that's fine. The parents and the teachers, you know, they should choose the best way for their kids. It shouldn't be that it's off limits, that's an option that's off limits to them. So I think that I would certainly defend the rights that we already have. Thankfully, I don't have to come up with rights. I think that would be harder for me to try and come up with a new right in this day and age.
Absolutely. We're talking with Paul Addis, candidate for state legislature in Washington State. He aims to repeal some of the anti-competitive business taxes to allow small businesses to grow and to help create jobs and wealth. You can connect with him at electpauladdis.com. You're listening to Libertarians Working for You. I'm your host, Arvind Vora. We'll be right back.
Stimulating talk
gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time. The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
There is a species that remains undiscovered by modern science. This species is known by many names, but most commonly known as Bigfoot. Join Todd Standing and Dr. Jeff Meldrum for Bigfoot North, a program that sets out to uncover the species that has eluded modern science, but that does truly exist. Expert and celebrity guests will be on hand to discuss both the scientific evidence and conclusive fact of the species on this planet. Bigfoot North airs live every Wednesday at 5 p.m. Pacific Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel.
you hear a dog barking or an angel singing, then you know that you are listening to Waking Up in America. Heard every Wednesday at 3 Pacific Time, Valerie Kirkhard and all of her friends will bring you powerful and humorous discussions that raise thoughts and give you insight on how to live your life to its fullest potential. Adventure is always a must on Waking Up in America with Valerie Kirkhard, every Wednesday at 3 Pacific.
Follow us on Twitter at VoiceAmericaTRN. Get the lowdown on guests, new shows, and your favorites. That's VoiceAmericaTRN.
This is Libertarians Working for You. If you wish to connect with our show, please call 1-866-472-5788. That number again is 1-866-472-5788. You may also send an email to comments@lp.org. Here again is Arvin Vora.
Welcome back to Libertarians Working for You. I'm your host, Arvin Vora. We're currently talking to Paul Addis, candidate for state legislature in Washington State. You can connect with him at electpauladdis.com. Paul, we've spoken a lot about civil rights, gun rights, the right to defend yourself, as well as the rights to start your own business without interference or excessive taxation. Washington State is also on the forefront of one of our most important battles for liberty, which is our battle to end the war on drugs. What are some of the things that you, if elected, could do to help move us in that direction?
Well, I think, and you're right, it is a very important spot to fight the battle for liberty. The war on drugs has been horrendous for in many ways, and thankfully, Washington State as well as Colorado were the two states, as we all know, that passed legislation that allowed recreational use of marijuana. We had different limits and restrictions in the two different states, but it was a nice step forward. We need to do a lot more. So, of course, the people that don't want us to have as much liberty as we should have are trying to come up with ideas like trying to lump, marijuana users all in one group and say we need to register. You have to be registered in a database to be able to get marijuana, for medical marijuana, and they're not making distinctions, trying not to make distinction between recreational use and medical use. And these are the kinds of efforts that we need to watch out for. And I am not for registering anybody to have a plant, basically, for whatever you use.
Let me go ahead and take a guess. I assume that these databases would involve, spending a bunch more government money and hiring a bunch of new government workers and handing out a bunch of government contracts. So
yeah, and probably people that are going to fix the database because it's probably not going to work that well.
Exactly. So again, it's on the surface looks like one thing, but half a step below, it looks like once again, they're trying to find ways to take money from the people in Washington State and hand it to, their cronies and friends and unions and whatever. Now, is the battle, can we move forward with this? Is the battle done? Have we done what we need to do, or can we move forward and make things even better in Washington State?
Yes, I think, even the limits on how much you can possess and the fact that you can't grow, I think in Colorado, if I'm not mistaken, they allow them to grow like 6 plants, individually in their home or something. In Washington, you can't do that. So of course that also creates a black market. We certainly haven't gone as far as we need to go. People around the country look at Washington, Colorado as having this, wow, this great move. And hopefully it's a small first shot of a much bigger war that we're going to win. But definitely we need to just decriminalize marijuana, get it, at least in Washington, we need to make it not a Schedule I drug. And so it's not a felony. Stop, filling our jails with people that are, they're having nonviolent, non-crimes, really. They're not hurting anybody. So, there's a lot more we can do until the day is that you can live your life like you want to live it without infringing on the rights of others to do the same. Until we get to that place, we've got a lot of work to do. When it comes to, marijuana, there's a lot of work to do.
Now, would you be willing to be the person to sponsor some of that legislation and to try to push it through?
Oh, yes. To me, it's a no-brainer for a libertarian, anybody that defends people's rights to live like they want. That's one of the issues to me, that I don't have any problem sponsoring that type of a bill.
Now, in addition to the just basic, you know, from the basic human rights perspective that says, you know, if you aren't hurting anybody else, the government has no place telling you that you can't do something. Now, are there other benefits? I mean, what about for someone, you know, I don't smoke marijuana. So what are some of the benefits that someone like me in Washington State might actually get if there's more legalization?
Well, first of all, if there's more legalization, meaning, you know, decriminalizing it, and there would, for anybody, there would be less expense in housing these people in the jails, number mm-hmm. one. So that'd be, we could cut those costs and mm-hmm. Cut that expense. That's more money in your pocket, take less taxes because of it. But also,
and of course, that's more money that's going to, I mean, if people have more money, they can buy more things, they can support businesses, and there's so many things they can do with that money.
Right, and the, you know, the government, for the small few things that it does can do those things better, and of course, if there's businesses that are selling marijuana, people growing it, agriculture, and that doesn't even touch on hemp, which is a different thing, industrial hemp. That's another thing I think we can do more of, but that of course is different than marijuana. So you've got, you know, sales of marijuana, and that's a business. So people are opening up businesses, and that's better for the economy. So, yeah, it would create jobs. It would give you more money in your pocket, less expense on the jails. And so there's a lot of benefits to it out there. And you touched on a subject about government and our rights and what government shouldn't be doing or limiting it. And that's kind of the idea that I have is overall for government is that we understand as libertarians there are these natural rights that we have, and that's a government's only there to protect those rights, not to make a bunch of rules that we can't do. So our government in many ways needs to be trimmed.
Now, a lot of people say now if we legalize, you know, marijuana, or if we completely get rid of all the restrictions, you know, we don't have a database or anything. People express the concern that what if that makes the, you know, the place more dangerous, increases crime and theft and violence?
You mean, yeah, like, you know, alcohol? They don't have a problem with that. So, yeah, I think maybe there's an age on it where, you know, you, just like alcohol, I don't think you should treat it a whole lot different. I don't necessarily think you should tax it at 40% because it's a sin or something, but I think that it can be treated easily like alcohol, and we let people buy alcohol. They don't have to register to buy alcohol. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I don't see much of a difference between the two.
Now, when alcohol was legalized, one of the things that happened with that is a, you know, significant lowering in violent crime associated with alcohol. Do you think that if we continue this process of decriminalizing and legalizing and ending the war on drugs, do you think that we could see a similar decrease in violent crime as well?
I would guess that we would see a decrease in violent crime in the sense of, especially marijuana, being a drug that since I don't smoke it myself, I'm okay if anybody does, but from what I understand, it actually makes you a little more mild and peaceful. We might, just from the effect of people smoking more marijuana, we may have less violent crime, and maybe more sales of brownies, who knows?
and the other great thing, of course, is you have, I mean, you have this amazing synergy, which is now there's like two things happening. One, drug dealers and people who are involved in the whole drug economy no longer have to use these kind of extra legal force-based methods. You know, they can use the court system if there's a disagreement. They don't have to resort to violence. And even better, the police officers that we do have, you know, in Washington State can now actually focus on the violent crime. They don't have to be distracted by all the stupid stuff.
Exactly. You're right.
I mean, there is that amazing synergy that really happens on both sides. You have, you know, better law enforcement and less silly stuff to worry about.
I think the police would like that too. I honestly think that the many of the police officers out there would rather not have to worry about some of those petty, nonviolent, you know, really no crime, in my opinion.
Now, one of the things that has been, you know, a bit of an issue in many states, and I believe including Washington State, is the government not just stepping on property rights in the way it normally does by, you know, taking money and that it has no right to whatsoever, but actually by literally just taking land through eminent domain. Is that something that's become an issue in Washington State in your view?
It is. And
Oh, gosh, in so many ways when it comes to property rights. That's something that the government at all levels seems to be going after. Specifically, an incident was eminent domain here in Seattle was that the city of Seattle, there was a lady who was like, I don't know, 100 years old lady who had this property downtown, and it was a parking lot. She had a little parking lot, and she wanted to keep the property, and then after she died, she wanted to, you know, have it part of her estate and given to some place as the property value went up later. And that was her idea. That was her property. Well, the city came in and said, you know, using eminent domain, they took the property away from her. And you know what they want to turn it into?
What?
A parking lot. I kid you not. In Seattle, we have this raised highway, kind of like San Francisco did before their big earthquake, where it collapsed. Ours is not collapsing, but we're taking it down because it's old, and they're going to build a tunnel, and so they're going to redo. And her parking lot was under that raised highway, which hasn't come down yet. But the property value around there is going to go sky high, like it did in San Francisco, once they redo the waterfront area. And also, her estate would have reaped a lot of money. But the city came in and took the land, and now they're going to reap the money, and they're going to give it to their crony friends. So that was a specific instance. But we have the Growth Management Act here in Washington, and that Growth Management Act, this is something interesting about it and other things like it. It was originally proposed as there was about 13 interests that it was supposed to balance, including economic development and property rights, along with one of the like 13 things that was mentioned was environmental issues. Well, of course, now it's being used to limit people what they can do on their property, and mainly it's a much more of a focus on the environmental issues. So they really scope creep is what we call it in project management. They've taken that one piece of it and they said, oh, mm-hmm. you know, it's really about saving the environment, so we're going to limit you on doing just about anything on your land. And it's really causing a lot of problems because property can't be enhanced, so mm-hmm. the value of a person's property can't be increased because they're limited in what they can do on it. So that's the kind of thing that I would like to. And I've spoken to some of the other candidates, like Nick Kunkel up in Bellingham and others who have drafted some legislation that we'd like to do to kind of limit that. But it just goes to show you that at all levels of government, they're always ready to take rights away from you when it comes to property. We've seen
and
that.
We have, of course, people like you who are fighting to take those rights right back. Stephen, first, let me thank you for joining us today on the show. I really appreciate you stopping by.
Yes, well, thank you very much.
I don't know why I referred to you, Stephen. Paul, thank you for stopping by.
We've been
talking with Paul Addis, candidate for state legislature in Washington State. You can connect with him at electpauladdis.com. He is working to downsize government, to get it out of the way of small businesses, to get it out of the way of your private life, to get it out of the way of your pocketbook and your wallet so that you can live freer and build your business, build your economy, and get better jobs. Paul is one of hundreds of libertarian candidates on the ballot this year who will cut state government spending and meddling to make you safer, grow the economy, and encourage real job growth. Check out the Libertarian Party at lp.org, and please join the Libertarian Party and help us end harmful state-level programs and departments. You're listening to Libertarians Working for You. I'm your host, Arvind Vora. Thanks for tuning in. We'll be right back.
The experts. Call toll free right now 1-866-472-5787.
Hello?
And ask our all-star team to answer your question. That's 1-866-472-5787.
Thank you for calling
VoiceAmerica.com.
Voice America Network proudly presents The Catherine Zox Show for women, men, children, and families. Catherine magically combines her compassion, experience, and talent to bring listeners a show that's upbeat, informative, and yes, a little sassy. Tune in every Wednesday at 7 a.m. Pacific Time, 10 a.m. Eastern to The Catherine Zox Show on the Voice America channel.
It's time to take a new look at some of life's changing moments.
It's time to listen to an expert who has been there and can provide insight through experience, studies, and enlightening guests. Tune in to Illuminating Now, Lindsay's Life Secrets. Host Lindsay Levinson takes a look at relationships, parenting, health and wellness, divorce, depression, sexuality, philanthropy, and mental health. You'll look at everything you know in a different way. Illuminating Now, Lindsay's Life Secrets, airs Wednesdays at noon Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Variety.
Become our friend on Facebook. Post your thoughts about our shows and network on our timeline. Visit Facebook.com/Voice America.